Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the General Government and Transportation Committee. It's Thursday, March 15, 2001. And I would like to, just for the record, in case there's anyone in here that was waiting for Senate Bill 85, it has been postponed and moved to Tuesday, next Tuesday, because of a difference of opinion relative to some amendments. And so we think that's going to be worked out and will be dealt with. And so at this time, what I'm going to do is open up a work session and for the purpose of moving Senate Bill 665 to Judiciary. And so I'll do that with a tap of the gavel.
Chair, I move that Senate Bill 665 be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
All right. It's been moved that Senate Bill 665 be moved to the Judiciary Committee. Is there any discussion about that? Okay. If not, let's go ahead and take a vote on that.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Carno? Senator Mesley? Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Chair George?
Aye. Senate Bill 665 is hereby sent to the Judiciary Committee.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since it is our bill and coming from this committee, when this bill comes back, I'm not so sure I'm going to be happy with it because I know a lot of people who don't have birth certificates.
I know it. Right.
And that's going to be costly to the individual.
Yeah. And we've already had some discussion about what the implications of that bill are.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and open at this time. A hearing. I think most of our people are scooter folks. Is that correct? All right. Let's open a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 173. And I'll hold the gavel for a second while our committee administrator is running. And Patrick will brief us on the bill. Now, I'm going to let everyone know ODOT has come in with a suggested amendment to the bill. It's a minor change in the bill requiring a reporting of any accident involving those. The scooters, and but they were perfectly fine for us to do that on the House side, and our my feeling was we were that would be something we would concur with if that's fine with the committee. I think we'll go ahead and work the bill and get it through the process. Patrick, tell us where we are with 173.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 173, and I'll just focus on the -2 amendment here. It allows motor scooters to operate with a foot support or seat. It limits motor scooters to vehicles that have a piston or rotor displacement of 35 cubic centimeters or less. It allows motor scooters to operate on roads with speed limits of 25 miles per hour or less. It allows the state parks and recreation department to restrict or prohibit the operation of a motor-assisted scooter on a bicycle lane or bicycle path in a state park. It deletes the requirement that a motor-assisted scooter must have a motor kill switch. It requires the operator of a motor-assisted scooter to execute an arm signal at least 100 feet before a lane change, and that's in addition to also for turns and stops. It requires that a parent must knowingly authorize the unlawful use of a scooter by a child under the age of 16 in order to be held liable for the child's actions and issued a $25 ticket. It allows the operator to wear lighting and reflecting equipment on their person in the event that the scooter does not have the required equipment. It modifies the definition of the moped as a vehicle with a combustion engine that has a piston or rotor displacement of more than 35 cubic centimeters. And that's the -2 amendment. I just read what has changed since the last time we heard this bill.
Okay, and who do we sign up, have signed up to testify?
The first,
by the way, those amendments were part of a work group. Please, Senator Carter, you did the work on that. We appreciate that very much.
And then we had, yes,
Senator Carter.
Senator Carter.
Yep. That's right. <Yeah. laughs> And we did have one final work session after the last meeting on this this bill. This is the third time it's been scheduled. And the first person signed up to testify is Cindy Hoover.
I want to bring one up just for display. This is the battery
operator. Cindy, come on up, and we'll have you introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Cindy Hoover. I'm from North Bend, Oregon. And
have you manufacture these?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay.
But I did want to bring one up. This is an old battery-operated scooter, and my points on the battery-operated scooters are they're safe, they're clean, and they're quiet.
Yes.
And
could you go ahead and take a seat and then state your name for the record, and then go ahead.
Start over again.
Well, we have all these requirements. We
okay.
Have to meet, you know.
My name's Cindy Hoover.
Okay.
I'm from North Bend, Oregon.
Oh, you're fine on that. We got that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And
now that we've totally confused you, sorry about that.
That's okay. I just wanted you to see what a battery-operated scooter looked like. My comments are they're safe, they're clean, they have no emission, and they're quiet. They hum. They're not as noisy as your microwave, probably. Could I ask you one question about the Amendment 2? You were saying something about the parents authorizing children under what age?
Well, yes. Go ahead, Patrick. You're going to restate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the last version of this bill, there is a requirement that you be 16 years of age or older to legally operate a motor-assisted scooter under this bill. And in the last version, if a child under the age of 16 was caught operating one of these motor-assisted scooters, two things would happen. They would be issued, the child would be issued a ticket up to $75, and their parent would be issued a ticket of $25, no matter what. And so it was written to, and this puts it in line with some other laws relating to this type of activity, but it was rewritten so that there would have to be proof that the parent had knowingly permitted the child to illegally operate the scooter for the parent to be held liable and issued the $25 ticket.
Okay, so you weren't saying that a parent could legally authorize somebody under the age of 16 to use it.
No, in fact, it specifically prohibits someone from under the age of 16 from using a scooter.
You read kind of fast, and I was like, what was that? But anyway, I want you to see it. I think they're a safe item. And like I say, the battery one's clean, easy to get around on, and I'd rather fall off one of these than a bicycle. I'll tell you that for sure. That's it.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you very much. And we have two members of our committee here who have actually ridden
those
up and down the hallway.
And that one is tempting. It's pretty good looking.
Yeah, that's a gnarly dude paint job.
Okay, Mr. Chair, the next testifier is, and excuse me if I miss your name, it appears to be Doug Lyne. Linden. Okay.
My name is Douglas Lyne. I am the director of the Clean Cities Coalition, the Columbia Willamette Clean Cities Coalition. We're a coalition of about 150 members, all volunteers. Our area of coverage is from Vancouver, Washington to Eugene. The Clean Cities Initiative was started by the Department of Energy, U.S. Department of Energy, about 8 years ago. There are currently 80 coalitions throughout the country, and our sole mission in life is to promote the use of alternative fuel vehicles and alternative vehicles. So I'm here to encourage you to move forward on this legislation. We feel strongly that we need to introduce other forms of transportation besides the internal combustion engine. We need to cut emissions drastically. That's my statement.
Well, Doug, we had folks that came in from Portland advocating the same thing, and you know, one of the things that's occurred over the last, say, 4 or 5 years is quite an addition of good bike lanes, you know, within the cities.
Yes.
And the committee was down in Eugene just recently and had a chance to look at some of the things they're doing, their wonderful bike paths and their bike lanes and stuff like that. And of course, you know, the natural is to look at these things and say that's just a perfect extension, particularly for the person, you know, like, for example, right now, Senator Carter is suffering with a bad knee. I'm suffering with a bad back. Something with a little motor on it that I can scoot from one place to another, I think is a terrific idea, particularly where I think this is a reasonable bill as far as some of the requirements.
That's right.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, the next testifier is Mr. John Geffen.
If there was ever a citizen who's involved with his passion, it is John.
And that, John,
he followed through. That's absolutely wonderful. I appreciate that.
Thank you for your comments, Senator Carter.
Yes.
John, we thought you might be bringing us a new hydrogen-powered one.
You'll be the first to see it when I get my hand.
Always. Perennial self.
Chair George, I wish to make some additions to the comments I made when I was here on February 8, 2001. Mr. Chair, committee members, again, I'm here to urge your support of Senate Bill 173 with its amendment, I believe it's number 2, relating to gas and electric-assisted scooters. My name is John Geffen, and I am General Manager of Ron Tonkin's Alternative Fuel Vehicle Division. My stores sell a large variety of electric-assisted bicycles and scooters, both electric and gas-assisted. Electric and gas-assisted scooters fit poorly into our established motor vehicle categories. The poor fit has created a situation in which riders are unsure of the rules they must follow, and local police find it hard to enforce the existing laws. Unless the legislature acts, riders will operate them unlawfully, while law enforcement remains unable to effectively enforce the rules. Specifically, the contemplated Senate bills will change the Oregon Vehicle Code to properly classify the scooters under the existing statutes for electric-assisted bicycles and set forth the rules of operation for riders. The surge of consumer interest in these scooters are exactly the sort of new alternative transportation that we ought to encourage. The electric-assisted scooters are completely clean and reduce traffic congestion. I think I need another one of my notes here. May I step back?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Take your time. We had that happen.
Reduce traffic congestion on our streets and alleviate parking problems. They are energy efficient, economical to operate, and environmentally correct. The more people who use them, the cleaner our air will be and the quieter our streets will be. But the laws as they now exist are tough on people who may be considering using them. As you can plainly see, these scooters are nothing like a moped or motorcycle. Yet under Oregon law, these are technically considered a moped. The requirements for moped use are a lot more stringent than they need be for this type of vehicle and a lot more restrictive. Recently, I met with the Oregon Department of Transportation and the Bike and Pedestrian Coordinator in Senator Carter's office, where their issues were brought up so their input could be added to the bill. A second meeting was set up to again discuss their concerns, and these were addressed and added to the bill. I believe that with their input, their support would follow. I appreciate very much your consideration. Thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Yes. I have a question. I just want to thank John and the Department of Transportation, along with the State Police, and certainly Mr. Baldacci for his work on this. And I am prepared to support this legislation.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next testifier is Mr. Tim Connolly. Tim, welcome.
Hello. Okay. My name is Tim Connolly, and I am here to remark on the support of the Senate Bill 173. Chair George and committee members, I'm here in relation to the 173 bill for the gas and electric-assisted scooters. My name is Tim Connolly, and I'm the owner of Tim's Motorsports. Though I live now in Vancouver, Washington, when I became a dealer, a distributor for these about 10 years ago, I saw them as an opportunity for transportation. Specifically, I was dealing with people that were on the road and at racetracks where they needed a small vehicle to get around. People only had a small compartment. They get X amount of size for all their luggage and such. And so I saw that as an opportunity to have a vehicle, and these were something I took on. Over those 10 years, the majority of the people that have bought these are RV owners that use them in RV parks. Instead of having a vehicle to get around, they have the scooters instead of a car in tow, so to speak. Private plane owners, when they go into an airport, they don't have a way. Sometimes they're parking their planes way out off the runways and hard to get around, so, and also private boat owners. Senior citizens as of late, and now that they're becoming more popular, they were pretty much a niche for many years, and in the last couple of years, they've been more popular. And I've received calls from senior citizens looking for a way to get around that they didn't have to pedal a bike or walk, and they've been calling. I feel strongly that a law is needed that basically treats them as a bicycle. The law right now, which isn't one, is my understanding. It makes it really hard for people to know what they can and can't do with these. I would request that the helmet be required and a speed maximum be implemented, and also if riding at night to use a lighting equivalent to a bicycle. I strongly encourage the use of alternate transportation to alleviate pollution, traffic congestion, and parking problems. One thing that comes to mind was an article somebody drew my attention to about, since these have become legal in California, several companies in the Bay Area have used them or asked their people that were commuting within 5 miles to consider the scooters, bicycles, or walking, and they would get a close spot in where some of these parking lots, they're walking for 5 or 10 minutes to get into the office, so they kind of, for bicycles and scooters, they gave a spot really close in. I appreciate your consideration, and one thing that I did want to touch on, the GoPed brand of which I deal with has both the gas and electric, and depending on the usage, both have their place. They are down in California, and their new model that's going to be coming out in May has been redesigned to deal with the CARB, California Air Resource Tier 2 regulations. Mm-hmm. They're getting upwards of 200 miles per gallon on this new model. The existing model gets about 130. So on a little quart of gas, you can go pretty far. The new engine's going to be 5 dB quieter, and again, it conforms with the CARB. And my understanding is that the CARB standards are in advance of the EPA standards. So thank you for your time and giving me a chance to visit.
Appreciate having you here. Any questions from the committee? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Patrick, that's it, huh?
Mr. Chairman, that's all the people who have signed up to testify.
All right. Hey, I tell you, when you have your committee saying, let's move the bill. Yes, Senator Carter?
I just want to encourage our citizen from Bend to have the battery. That's the first time we've seen the battery. I'm just encouraging all the people with alternative modes of transportation and usages, you know, to preserve our environment, and that's pretty cool.
Absolutely right. Well, I think this is a bill we've had a lot of fun with, yeah. Been a little bit heartburn, but I'm anxious to see what it's going to look like in a few years, because I really see in places like Eugene and Salem and Portland the application of these things for legitimate transportation. So looking forward to having it happen. Let's go ahead and close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 173.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 173 to the floor with a due pass.
Vice Chair Metzger has moved Senate Bill 173 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Hold on now. Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Did we do the amendments?
Oh, you're right. We did not. Sorry about that. Boy, we need that.
So I retract my I retract my motion,
thank you,
Mr.
For
Chair.
Paying attention.
I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 173.
Okay. Without objection?
Dash two. It's one of those afternoons. Dash two amendments.
Dash two amendments to Senate Bill 173 without objection. Get it right. We're just
Now maybe we'll do it. Move Senate Bill 173 as amended to the floor of the Duke.
Vice Chair Metzger has moved Senate Bill 173-2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Or is there further discussion or correction?
Well, no discussion, but I would just say to thank Senator Carter and the work group, because as you know, I had a lot of questions about this when we first brought it up, and it's the best part of the process when people get together, solve the problems and the concerns, and make something workable. And I appreciate all your effort.
Okay. Yes, we do, and we were going to ask you to carry it in a minute, too. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Carno, Senator Messerly, Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Chair George?
Aye.
Senate Bill 173 is duly passed, -2, and it will be sent to the floor with a due pass, and I will officially ask Senator Carter if she will carry the bill.
I'd be more than glad to, Mr. Chairman. And I wish we had a camera today to take John's picture, please. John, was this the first time you'd been before Legislative Committee?
Senator Carter, I was once before when you were putting the electric bicycle bill before.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, because to see you, okay, to see you the first time you came versus to see you today is a totally different picture. That's good. You didn't do that, madam.
Well, oh, we did. All right. We had no one show up to testify on House Bill 2232, and we did stick it on at just the last minute. And I would prefer that we would have someone here to talk about the bill. So without objection, I'm going to go ahead and move that over to Tuesday, too.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. So we're getting down there. And now we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2746. Told you we'd get you out of here.
You did, Mr. Chairman. I love it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2746 eliminates the special requirement that government fleet vehicles annually certify compliance with pollution control standards. Current statute requires all vehicles in the Portland and Medford metropolitan areas to certify compliance with pollution standards every 2 years. The statute also requires government fleets of 50 or more vehicles to certify each year. House Bill 2746 would bring government fleets in line with the standards for all of the vehicles in the metropolitan areas. Many of the larger government fleets maintain their own certification centers and conduct their tests on their own vehicles. As reflected in the fiscal impact statement, state agencies are expected to save $125,183 during the next 3.5 years. Local governments will save an additional $215,332. The Department of Environmental Quality will lose $82,285 in fees over the same period.
Okay. And who do we have signed up to testify?
We have Ms. Susan Schneider of the City of Portland.
Good afternoon, Chair George, members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you. My name is Susan Schneider with City of Portland Government Relations Office. As you've just heard, House Bill 2746 is an efficiency in government bill and will save both the state of Oregon and the city of Portland money. It's not a huge amount of money, but these days it's all important. The current law in areas of the state where vehicles must be tested for compliance with emission standards says that this vehicles must be tested every 2 years. Except that the law requires government vehicles in fleets of over 50 to be tested every year. And no one knows where that requirement came from. We tried to find out. We've talked with DEQ. We've talked with environmental groups who are involved. And nobody seems to remember. The best we can come up with is that perhaps we were just trying to set an example because it was a new program. But that's only a guess. The City of Portland requested this bill because it will save us in excess of $30,000 a year to test our fleet every other year instead of every year. DEQ says this change will not affect air quality either in Portland or Medford, air quality attainment areas. This is because large public fleets are made up generally of newer vehicles that are on a regular, rigorous maintenance schedule. This bill applies only to 8,100 vehicles in the state of the 1.2 million that are tested every biennium. The City of Portland's share, by the way, of that is 1,450 vehicles. These vehicles are more regularly maintained, we believe, than those of the public at large. There's no known reason for the extra cost, so we ask you to support House Bill 2746. Thank you.
And it's our understanding that the DEQ is okay with this. I mean, you know, you and I talked about before the hearing the fact that they were okay for us to extend re-registration out for 4 years on new cars. So assuming that that would be recognizing that the new fleets are in fact meeting the cleaner standards.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we ran this bill by DEQ before we even had it drafted, and since then, and they were in the room at the House committee meeting to nod their heads and say it was okay.
Okay.
I wasn't able to catch up with their representative today in time to get them here, but...
Well, and I'm sorry about that. What happened was we've had a certain plan and had some bills that had a problem, so we put these in place, and it looks like we were kind of rushing it a little bit, so...
Believe me, Mr. Chair, we appreciate your scheduling the bill.
Okay.
Mr. Senator Carter.
I just wanted to make one comment. It seems sense to me in terms of when we have the kind of initiatives in this country that we've had, and cars are built better, they have greater built-in efficiencies in terms of emission control standards and that kind of stuff, that we don't live with the old laws. When I came in 1985, we had problems with passing regulations that would have citizens, you know, to regulate along these lines, and they weren't building cars with the kind of efficiencies they have today. So we had to develop centers all across the state. And I think our biggest problem was now down in the Medford, Ashland area. Now I see where they're part of that big city concern as well and doing better and more efficient with cars. And so I think this makes so much more sense to take the expense away. And even if DEQ had a problem, I could understand them having a problem because they'd be losing dollars, but it would not have made sense to have it.
We do have one person who would like to testify on this. Come on up. In fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We short noticed this. I mean, we were perfectly in accordance with the rules, but I think I'm going to go ahead and hold this bill over, too. So, but we do want to receive your testimony now. We just probably won't move the work session.
Well, I'm going to comment in support.
Oh, okay.
If that's all right. Again, to introduce myself, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I'm Douglas Lynn. I'm the director of the Clean Cities Coalition, the Columbia-Willamette Clean Cities Coalition, and I'm also on the Governor's Sustainable Suppliers Council. And I work very closely with the people from the City of Portland and the state motor pool, and I just have to comment that vehicles within those motor pools are probably better maintained than any other vehicles on the road. And I wouldn't have a problem with this bill at all. I think it makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Well, that alleviates a little bit of my concern. I saw there were some no votes on the bill on the House side, and that was some of the concern as to, you know, why we had no votes, what bill it would appear to be very reasonable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we'll work this thing. I'll do some checking to find out. And like I say, I'm really sorry that we ended up being so crowded in today. And
yeah.
But we did get one bill out that I think is going to be a lot of fun.
All right, thank you.
Yes, Senator.
Susan, can you tell me what were, if you know, the background of the no votes?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, the two no votes in committee, only one representative stated their objection, and it was that they are from an area in the Portland air maintenance shed that objects to being included, and that it was just a protest vote that they don't think their folks should be included, and they didn't see any reason to let government to any different standard until their folks were excluded from having to have their cars inspected. I asked the other representative, and they said it was just a general vote, and the seven votes on the floor, nobody spoke on the floor against the bill, so I don't have any idea.
Okay.
People do like to vote against Portland.
Well, I was just thinking maybe you heard the debate or something.
No, there wasn't any debate.
Mr. Chairman? No. I respect the chair's position of not passing the bill out today, but if you were to do that, I'd be prepared to support the bill today.
Okay. All right.
I would, too. I'm glad Marvin asked because that's one of the two.
Pardon us, we're just having a little discussion here. I should say we're going to stand at ease. We're just checking, anyone else want to testify?
There's no one else signed to testify, no one else in the audience can work.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, I think the bill looks like a great idea, and you know, we're always giving you guys unfunded mandates. It'd be nice to give you a funded process. Okay, with that, I thank everyone for being here today and for our committee members for being here. And with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2746, and with a tap of the gavel, we'll be adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.